Do you want me to record that thing?
I do. So, for, if you screw up, just start over. We'll just leave the recording going.
Hello, governors. Welcome to the Cult Cast. It's the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. It's a right laugh. It's a bollocks.
Hello, and welcome to the Cult Cast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and I'm joined, as always... always by two extraordinary gentlemen. One's bald and beautiful. That's Buster Kine. Hey Buster, welcome.
Hello.
One's not bald and he's mildly attractive.
What are you talking about?
You still got some up there. Leander Kearney is who I'm talking to. Hey Leander.
Hey, Fun.
You still got a pretty over. Good, is it one giant come over?
No,
it
yeah.
is. It, it's from the back, though, right? Because it looked a little
No,
odd.
It's actually under my chin. It's
That's why your hairdo looks so much like Justin Bieber's. It's a good look for you, though. Any case, this is the Cult Cast. Welcome, everyone. We got a good show for you guys planned today. Kind of a slow news week, but before you hit the stop button, we have lots of interesting little news tidbits to talk about today. As you guys all know, WWDC is upcoming in just about 3 weeks now. Yeah, Buster?
2 weeks, bro.
2 weeks. Yeah. Don't 2 weeks bro me in front of all these people. I feel embarrassed now. Yeah, so about 2 weeks now, and that's, of course, when Tim Cook's going to come out with Dr. DRE, drop the mic, drop a bunch of hot products on us. But until then, we're anticipating it's going to be... a little calm, but before we hop into all of our fun bits, I want to thank our sponsor, Smile Software, who of course makes the outstanding Text Expander application for your Mac and for your iOS device. I always say Text Expander is one of the most useful apps available on the Mac and on iOS. It saves you time and effort by expanding short abbreviations that you type into frequently used blocks of text, pictures. You can use it in your email applications for your email signatures, for your development if you're a coder. It's super duper useful. It's one of those apps that I install immediately as soon as I set up a new Mac. Try it out yourself for free. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast and download it. Give her a shot. We want to thank Smile Software for sponsoring and supporting this episode. Buster, you had a huge announcement that you wanted to share with us about WWDC. Would you care to start with that?
Oh, snap. There's going to be a keynote at WWDC this year, guys.
Because that was seriously on the fence. I know.
Yeah. Tim Cook might even be there.
You think he's going to come out?
There's no confirmed information, but yeah.
I guess what I'm concerned about is, like, is he going to come out and just start the show, or do you think he'll do a speech?
Oh, he has to do a speech, you know?
Okay, cool. And so they've confirmed that the keynote is going to happen.
Yeah, so 10 a.m. on June 2nd.
That's a Tuesday,
That is a Tuesday. All the new details on iOS 8, OS X, and supposedly some new hardware will be coming.
Supposedly some new hardware?
Supposedly.
What do you think? What do you think we might see?
I'm going to say probably MacBook Airs or MacBook Retinas. Pros or some speed bump on the iMac. And I don't think it'll be like a cool, like it won't be a brand new product unveiling, I bet, but you know.
We're definitely in the season of newer product updates. I mean, yeah. We haven't seen one in quite a while. Nothing exciting anyway.
Oh, they haven't released anything this year.
Well, they gave the MacBook Air a little speed bump.
Does that count?
No, it doesn't. But we need something more exciting than that. We want to see that giant 12-inch iPad Air that was leaked on Weibo this week. And I'm sure you guys saw the pictures. It looked absolutely ridiculous. It looked like a giant shield. It looked like this guy was holding a shield. It was like a bare iPad 13-inch backplate. Do you guys think that there's any chance that was actually real?
I don't know if that part itself was real. It probably was just like a CNC mock-up or something like that, I'm guessing.
Ridiculous.
But I mean, Microsoft just announced their own like huge ass tablet, so maybe Apple is considering it.
Maybe the person that was holding that iPad was really small. That because too. It looked like a child was holding it. I mean, it looked like the person was like falling over backwards because they were holding it in front of their face and they could barely hold this thing up. That's how ridiculous it looked. It'll be interesting to see if that turns out to be real, because either that's totally fake or the factory where these things are being manufactured or staffed by Oompa Loompas. Hey, Leander, are you still there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was reading sure. my email.
Yeah, I could tell because that was an A-plus quality joke.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't laugh at all.
Sorry.
That's how I knew. I was like, Leander's either gone or he's halfway through his hoagie.
All right, I'll listen to it on the when you publish it.
Yeah, make sure you catch it when you listen to this show next time, whenever you listen to it. Yeah, so about that Surface Tab that you mentioned, Buster,
mm-hmm.
people are calling it the iPad killer, which I think is humorous. It's not an
Who's
iPad
Who's calling
killer.
An iPad killer?
Well, I've heard press sites call it that, yeah. Yeah. Which is not. I mean, the Surface and the iPad, I don't think will ever compete with one another. They're kind of like totally different devices.
I mean, it's supposed to be, I don't know, I feel like it doesn't compete with the iPad or the MacBook Air well enough, to be honest, because like, it really doesn't fulfill the needs or replace either of those products sufficiently.
So they're kind of targeting it. Microsoft said they were targeting the MacBook Air with this huge Surface Tab. And it comes in, it's a lot heavier than the iPad Air. I think it's almost double the weight.
It is, yeah.
And it's about, I don't know, half a millimeter or 2 millimeters thicker. I can't quite recall, Buster. Hop in if you know.
Nope, those are right. It's about that.
Does it run a normal version of Windows, or is this like the regular Surface Tabs?
Yeah, it runs regular Windows, has like Intel iCore 7 processors, tons of RAM and 512 gigabytes of storage space, and it's just huge. It's like a huge slab of glass that you can eat off of, and
you can also eat off of it while you're multitasking. To your point about the possibility of seeing a larger iPad with a 13-inch screen, we've talked about this before. Do you guys think that there's a demand for those? Because I think that's really so huge that I don't really know if I'd want to carry one around.
I personally don't see it being something I would use. I don't know about Leander. Maybe he would get all on the iPad train.
Yeah, you know, bigger is better.
that's what I always say.
It sounds like it would be cool, but you know, like you said, do you remember people complaining about the weight of the first iPad and then holding it up to read like was hurting their wrists and stuff, and they were buffing up, it was too heavy. So I don't know. I mean, maybe the thing would be too heavy, but I think it'd be interesting to see, like, have a big screen like that.
Sure,
especially with split screen multitasking.
Buster, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna say I would want it to be even bigger than 13 inches.
Like, how big?
Like 48 inches, or I don't know, something big enough to put in your living room, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe you can also play TV shows.
Yeah.
And movies.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That huge like Lenovo TV? One at CES.
Well, the one we saw at CES, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? The Samsung one, although it was kind of a mess, the UI a bit.
Yeah. I mean, that could, like, your iPad's your coffee table. That could be cool, you know?
Right.
I just don't. Yeah, that could be cool. You're right. I mean, we would definitely talk a lot about it, but.
Yeah, I don't know if I would ever buy it, but I'd think, that's cool. All right.
That's pretty cool. Would you buy that? No, not a chance.
No. I only need two devices. Yeah.
That Lenovo that we saw, that ginormous, ridiculously huge Lenovo, was cool. But again, I wouldn't really want to use one of those things. It kind of seemed like it was meant for business people.
Mm-hmm.
All business, no fun. That's not the way of the iPad.
Yeah, right.
let's talk about some fun news. Apple's original rainbow office signs apparently are going to auction. And I was thinking maybe we could do a Kickstarter. I know we keep teasing our listeners that we're going to do a Kickstarter eventually. Maybe we will, because this seems
is one
like
we could actually
cool.
win.
So, Buster, you want to tell us about why these signs are cool? I mean, besides the fact that they're Apple logos.
Oh, well, they're the retro Apple logos.
They're like the original
rainbow
Apple logos.
Yeah. And they were the original ones that like decorated the Cupertino headquarters when they were first built in 93.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're being auctioned off by some like prestigious British fine arts auction house and stuff.
And they're expected, or I guess the opening price, there's two of them that are being put on sale. One is, I think, smaller, and then one is like larger and higher quality, like a better build.
Yeah, yeah. One's like metal, one's foam.
One's foam. I think that's foam. The one that's starting. Yeah. Yeah, foam with vinyl coloring applied to it. And
was it the one that was on the outside of the building?
Yeah, both of them were on the outside.
From what I saw from 1993 to 1997, these two rainbow logos were east facing on the side of Infinite Loop Building 3, so drivers could see it as they sped down Highway 280. Thank you for all that, Buster. And I just memorized all these facts before the show, and that's pretty awesome to have a piece of vintage Apple logo.
Yeah, it's
would
like
be awesome.
The Berlin Wall or something.
Yeah, it's almost it's, the Berlin Wall is almost as important as these two artifacts from our past. Because in 1997, of course, Steve Jobs nixed all colors of the rainbow. He outlawed them universally, but he couldn't enforce that, of course, worldwide, only within Apple. And they moved to the monochrome logo, which is the one that you see today, that one that looks like candy a little bit. So really cool pieces of Apple history. And yeah, $10,000 bid, opening bid for the smaller foam one, $15,000 bid for the larger one. Leander, mm-hmm. You're rolling in the dough. I know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've seen the way you dress. I know the way you carry yourself and you eat at fine restaurants. Why can't you get these and hang them outside Cult of Mac headquarters, San Francisco headquarters?
Well,
they're only $25,000 opening bid.
I don't like the old Apple logo anymore. I hate to say it.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah, the old retro rainbow thing.
Like the new Cult of Mac logo is kind of based off of it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Yeah,
we got a new one that supersedes the new one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So you don't like those, huh?
No, it I like looking forward. I like the new sleek looking, 21st century logo.
Those do look good. Those do look good as well. But I heard you were like really into rainbows. Like really, really into rainbows.
There's a lot of rainbows in this town for sure.
And that you keep them like little rainbow flags here and there.
We've hung the rainbow flag for sure. But
is that the royal we? Yeah.
People we know, people, you know, friends,
yeah, friends of yours, yeah,
friends and acquaintances and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm not that interested in it. I mean, what about those? What happened to those Lego statues they had outside the headquarters?
They had Lego statues.
Yeah, they had them. In the numbers of the buildings.
Oh, I don't know.
They were like big sculptures, and they were like icons. You know, so they were like Susan Kare's icons.
Okay.
But made out of they. I guess
oh,
they
that
Lego,
would be
but,
really cool.
I've never
Susan
even heard
Kare,
of them,
course. She was the one that did the original icons for the Mac, right?
Right.
Okay, I just want to pull that out there, just in case people don't know who she is. And they were the great 8-bit looking icons. So that would look really cool if you rebuilt those in logo.
Yeah, I don't think they did look that cool. Steve Jobs hated him and straight away. I'm trying to do a quick search now so I'm going to remember what they were. I think one was like, yeah, I can't remember what they were.
Oh. Well, why don't we just sit here silently and listen to you type?
There's a whole icon garden.
Built out
was
of logos?
Was that really? There was the dog cow and the watch and a paintbrush and a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Are these real?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at them right now.
Yeah. Retro
these are
Mac
awesome.
Cows.
Yeah. Those are Apple. Cool. I've never heard of them.
Huh. You guys are looking at the original Lego recreations. Is that
they're,
what you're talking
they're,
about?
They're not. I don't know if they're made of Legos. Maybe they are, but they're really just 8-bit icons that used to be out in front of Apple campus. I can see why Steve ditched them. They were horrible.
If only we had a way to convey these things, these visual things that you're looking at to our listeners. I'm going to need you to describe them in more detail. Actually, before we put everyone to sleep, I want to say thanks to our sponsor, Smile, and their great app, Text Expander. Buster, have you used Text Expander? Because I know Leander has.
I should.
You should try it out.
I've never got on the plane for it yet.
I used to use it all the time, especially when I was writing more, because it saves you so much time. So the great thing about Text Expander is you can create blocks of text or images or code that you want to reuse and store them in Text Expander, and then when you're ready to use them, you can just type a short abbreviation, and then it will change that abbreviation into whatever you have assigned to it. So, for example, when I want to do a block email, let's say if I'm requesting a review unit or something, I just type out a certain abbreviation, boom, the abbreviation changes into a block of text that I've pre-written. And then that way, I just go through the email and change like the pertinent information, and then I could send that on and not have to type out the same email over and over and over again. And it's great for helping you save time, obviously, but it's also good for helping you cut down on mistakes. So if you're a developer, I've used this for HTML snippets because, you know, you don't want to rewrite the same code over and over again. Not only does it take you a long time, but it introduces mistakes if you're typing all the time. So once you get the mistakes ironed out, Text Expander will help you kind of keep your code in good shape so that you're, you know, not screwing it up. And not only that, but you can use it in your email signatures. I find new uses for Text Expander all the time. In fact, I use it every single day, and I use it when I'm creating the show notes for these episodes because it helps me type a little abbreviation and boom, my template for the show notes for every episode is right there, and then I just go through and fill it out. I want you to try it out. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/textexpander because I do think it's one of the most useful utilities for your Mac, and they also have it available for your iOS devices, and you can sync your snippets back and forth. So go check it out, smilesoftware.com/textexpander. Definitely want to thank them for sponsoring the show. They make great software, and Text Expander isn't the only application. Their PDF Pen is one of the best applications that you can use for editing and viewing your PDFs. So we want to thank them for sponsoring. Guys, let's talk about, we should have talked about this at the top of the show. Let's talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger taking selfies. Like, where's my iPad? I'm going to go get the iPad and take pictures of myself with my shirt off. Like, then I go to the chopper and I go to work. How was that?
My hammer.
Where's my hammer? Where's my Uber. iPad and my hammer? You posted some great pics of the gov himself. Sorry, Leander, but he actually was the gov.
The governator.
The governator. Yeah, that's true. You're the gov. He's the governator. I should make a clarification between those two. But like you, he likes to be shirtless as often as possible, especially when he drinks Stella Artois. And he posted some pictures. Wait, he didn't post these pictures of himself, Buster. Did someone snap pictures of the gov using his iPad?
It was probably like paparazzi shots of the gov at his hotel.
And he was holding his iPad. And I guess the kind of the lead is like, how much does Arnold Schwarzenegger love his iPad?
Yes, he does. He loves it a lot.
He loves his iPad. And I love seeing him with his iPad and with his shirt off, especially because he's still got it. Can you guys believe how good he still looks? He looks like he's like 25.
I don't think he looks that great personally, but I got a lot of crap from commenters for saying that he looks bad. But, you know, well, he's just got these huge steroid fused veins that are just crawling all over his arms, man.
Like, you know why his veins are so big? Because he's got so much man meat on him. He's got so much muscle bulk that his veins just have to be industrial sized to feed those things oxygen. And his pecs, if he met you, Buster, he could put your face between his pecs and he could smush your face.
Oh,
he wouldn't break it or anything, but it would definitely be uncomfortable. You wouldn't be able to breathe. So if you want to check out those great picks, head on over to cultamac.com, where only the finest news and reviews and outtakes are published.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that. That's the stuff that makes Cultamac fun to me. You know? It's like, and Leander, we were talking about this before the show. It's like the cultural stuff around Apple. You know? It's like not just the news, not just the reviews, it's not just the how-tos. You got pictures of a shirtless Austrian holding an iPad, and that's pretty cool. let's talk about, I swear this is going to be the only story that we talk about in regards to Beats, because as far as I heard, every single podcast and news outlet that covers anything remotely related to Apple was talking about Beats last week. But Steve Jobs' biographer, Walter Isaacson, had a theory about why Apple bought Beats, and it has nothing to do with music, as we talked about, and it has nothing to do with headphones or other wearables, but it was more about video. And Dan Lyons at Billboard was talking to Walter Isaacson, And actually, Buster, do you want to hop in here and summarize this since this was your piece?
Oh, sure, sure. Walter Isaacson, he brought up something that he left out of his biography. I guess, what's his name? Jimmy Iovine,
that's how I say it.
Iovine?
Yeah, sure.
I guess he approached Steve Jobs back in like 2003 or so to told him like he should buy Universal Music Group, like it would be huge and all this stuff. And so Walter Isaacson thinks that Iovine would be like the key piece in like helping Apple secure all of its video deals for the Apple TV that Steve Jobs wanted to build or something.
Mm-hmm. And Iovine also helped Apple make a deal with U2 on the Project Red iPod Classic. So yeah, he's obviously a wheeler and a dealer.
I mean, he's got tons of connections. I think we mentioned this last show too. Is, you know, his connections alone could be like very like useful to Apple in securing deals with music people, video, pretty much anything, bands, artists.
Leander, let me ask you this. So, stop reading your email for a moment, if you would. do you think that Apple will ever be able to secure all the video content relationships that they want to? You know, for the Apple TV, I know you've covered this a bit because, you know, with iTunes, it's become so powerful that music labels have been very leery of it. Do you think that that's going to affect how they're able to negotiate these contracts with people who supply, you know, video content?
Well, it's an interesting theory and it's a good read, but yeah, I'm really skeptical. I think, you know, what happened with the music industry in the early 2000s, it was an industry that was in total freefall. Mm-hmm. And they were getting the whole industry was going to disappear unless, you know, something was done about Napster. So they were prosecuting, you know, their own customers. They were prosecuting listeners, and CD sales were like, I think, double digit declines. Mm-hmm. And so I think they were willing to give Steve Jobs and Jimmy Iovine a shot, you know, with iTunes. But I don't see the same thing happening with the content industries. I mean, I think some of the big ones are like sport franchises, you know, the NFL, the NBA, and they are making billions and billions of dollars, you know, selling their content to the networks, and there's no reason for them to cut a deal with an upstart like Apple. You know, the model isn't broken. There's no revenue. Not for them, no. Yeah. But, you know, but that's the whole point, really. I think, you know, people are still willing to pay, you know, to buy a really crummy satellite TV package with hundreds of channels of stuff they'll never watch just to get, you know, the three or four things they do want to watch.
Right.
And breaking that model, I think, is enormously difficult. But, you know, saying that, look what happened today. You know, HBO made available its entire back catalog on Amazon Prime, which, you know, is, I think,
a huge moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Why?
Yeah,
no,
today.
I didn't hear about that. Why are we not talking about that earlier? What the hell? Yeah, you're kidding me. Wow, no. Amazon Prime is getting aggressive. That's incredible. Right.
Oh, well, this is killer content. This is some of the best stuff ever put on screen in any format, you know, movies or TV.
Well, how old is the content? Wait, I think we talked about this in previous episodes. 3 years older, or older, correct?
It's, if a show's had three seasons, yeah, they'll put the first three seasons until it finishes. And so, like, it has Sopranos, The Wire, Deadwood. It has tons of, like, shows.
Wow, Big Six Love, Feet Under.
Yeah, True Blood. And all of their stuff is on there now. It's incredible. It kind of makes me want to cancel my Netflix.
Wow. Yeah, right. I mean, I find that I'm watching more Amazon Prime these days than Netflix. And for those people that don't know, I know we have a lot of international listeners. So Amazon Prime is a service that you can buy that gives you free shipping on this Amazon.com website. Well, they also give you a free streaming video website that used to be kind of crummy. And now it's competing with Netflix, and oftentimes I think it beats Netflix in the kind of content they have.
I think it beats it pants down.
Well, I mean, there's no Apple TV.
When I put my pants down.
Well, your pants aren't actually down right now, are they? Are you going off topic?
No, they're not down.
I doubt that's true. Buster, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, they don't have like an Apple TV app, but you can still, I still just AirPlay it from my iPad over to the Apple TV, and it's just as good. And like with today's announcements, I really am thinking, I never use Netflix, so I'm probably going to cancel it because everything's on Amazon Prime now, plus HBO. It's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, HBO. I have HBO right now, and I got one of those like internet-only HBO deals that Comcast has. And I mean, it's not fun paying for it, but having HBO is incredible. They have so much great content on there.
Yeah, and there's tons of good shows.
I mean, there's just like show after show. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you watched that? Outstanding show.
Some of that is like, I've never laughed so hard for like 30 yes. minutes. I was laughing so hard, I was actually in pain.
But it's so awkward sometimes. It actually is hard to watch. Have you ever paused it because you were just feeling so uncomfortable that you couldn't continue?
No, the whole first season's like that. It's like, this is crazy. Why is this funny? This is like the strangest humor I've ever seen. But then by sort of season 2 and 3, it totally becomes, you know, I think you get used to it, all the conflict.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff is the funniest thing I think I've ever seen on TV, ever.
And then, of course, you have Game of Boobs. I mean, Thrones.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a much better deal than getting the stuff a la carte from iTunes. I mean, iTunes just can't compete with this. You know, why would you spend $40 or more on, you know, buying a season when, you know, you become an Amazon customer and you get all this stuff for free?
Plus, you get the free shipping. Let's not forget that. I mean, the free 2-day shipping from Amazon. Man, yeah, I'm going to send them an invoice for this conversation. That reminds me. they're technically now sponsoring. So, anyway, I don't know how we went way off. I don't know how we got from video to there. But
We're talking about Jimmy Iovine joining Apple to do content deals. And you know, I think if the industry was broken, you know, the cell phone industry was broken when Apple came in and did the iPhone. Everyone hated their cell phones. You know, the carrier deals were crummy, and you know, still are. But at least the devices are much better.
The devices are definitely a lot better.
So you know, I don't know. It'd be great for viewers. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Well, here's another interesting piece that may or may not be connected to this whole video thing. And we know we've talked about Apple TV before extensively. I mean, and we it seems as though Apple is working on an Apple TV and will be releasing one sometime in the next few years. Hopefully sooner rather than later. But according to Dan Rayburn at Streaming Media, Apple is building out their own CDN, content delivery network, and they're going to be paying ISPs for direct connections immediately for iPhone updates and iCloud stuff. So,
yeah. This is the whole thing that Netflix has been raising a stink about lately, not wanting to pay for fees for that access, but apparently Apple is totally cool with it.
Well, this is both cool and total horse crap, I think.
Okay.
Because I love that Apple's doing this. They're trying to take over their own CDNs. They can deliver a better experience, and hopefully you won't really notice these changes, but when you will notice is when their network gets really hammered. So if an update comes out, you know, when iOS 8 comes out, when the next version of iOS 10 comes out, you'll hopefully be able to download that without a hitch and install it. Because, you know, when the network gets hammered, you get all these errors and it can be a really bad experience. So that's obviously one advantage of being able to have their own CDN. But then the other thing is like, they're paying Comcast for faster bandwidth, actually, to access Comcast customers. And that's total horse crap. I mean, that goes against net neutrality as far as I understand it. And that totally sucks, right? Because as you guys all know, I'm a huge fan of keeping the internet open. And I know I'm not alone. A lot of companies have come up and tried to support net neutrality and sent letters to the FCC, who, by the way, is supposed to be protecting us and isn't. And sending letters to Tom Wheeler, who used to be a cable company lobbyist and is now running the FCC. And, and now Apple's just going to come out and say, hey, you know, like, here's some money. We're just willing to pay to play. And if Apple's willing to do it, that could cause other companies to be like, oh, yeah, okay, let's just...
Well, Netflix is doing it too. They paid Verizon.
Yeah, but Netflix is doing it because they have to. I mean, they're being extorted, essentially. I mean, they have no other choice.
Well, Apple was one of Akamai's biggest customers, you know, and that was their previous sort of CDN solution. But it wasn't looking at the kind of traffic. I mean, they were just setting up all these servers around the world to make sure that you got, you know, the data was cached locally, which is completely different. But yeah, you know, like, it's getting chipped away, though, the net neutrality. And, their compromise, the FCC's compromise, is like, put it out for questions. You know, it's like, they're trying to please everybody, all the companies that they are beholden to, plus the consumers.
Well, I love that their proposal, the FCC's proposal, was like universally hated by anyone with like more than 10 brain cells. And Comcast came out and they're like, we actually think this is quite acceptable. Like, oh, that's how you know you shouldn't like it. That's how you know. And hey, you know what? I'm in good company. Our former Cultcast guest and friend of the show, I don't think that's going too far, Steve Wozniak. our old pal Woz wrote a letter, an open letter to the FCC asking to keep the internet free. And I thought his example that he gave, it might have been a bit contrived, but it was still a good example. And he basically said, when we were building the Apple computers back in the day, if we had to worry about paying per bits of data that were processed, he's like, you know, that would have pushed the computer revolution out 10 or 15 years. It would have stalled the effort that we were making, because you really needed to have an open ecosystem in which you could play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody, even Steve Wozniak, is concerned about net neutrality. It's just baffling to me that Tom Wheeler, who is the head of the FCC, still doesn't... He's not crumbling against all the pressure. You would think he would just kind of go put his head in the ground and be like, yeah, whatever you guys want. But he's still trying to push this weird agenda.
Well, so yeah, it's a corporate agenda, though, isn't it? That's what the companies want.
Yeah, it's whoever has and the cash to play.
Shocker, somebody in the U.S. government is beholden to corporations. Hard to believe, I know.
I don't appreciate you making those kinds of untrue allegations, Leander. They're beholden to their...
Oh, really? What about the prosecution of credit, you know, the big Swiss bank this week?
Oh, gosh. Credit Suisse?
Yeah.
You mean...
Which, you know...
They pled no contest. What are you talking about?
Well,
I mean, sure, they agreed.
No
to
one's
like,
going to jail, and they're not handing over the names of the tax cheats.
Oh,
what
I thought
a great
they,
deal.
I thought they were handing the names of the tax cheats.
No,
over.
That was part of the deal. Was they're going to keep that confidential?
Oh, wow!
And you know, probably because it's going to be, you know, some of the top movers and shakers in the country whose names.
Oh,
will
sure.
Come
I mean,
plus a bunch of politicians too. So
we should back up. If you're not familiar with the story we're talking about, so this week, Credit Suisse, Swiss bank, agreed to pay the U.S. a fine. I think it was like $2.5 billion or something. Is that right, Leander?
Yeah, it's nothing. It's probably like...
Oh, for them, it's a pittance, yeah. But they agreed to pay a fine for harboring the finances of tax cheats. So people that live in the U.S.
Well, actively helping them dodge taxes.
Yeah, right, essentially. Sending their money to Switzerland to avoid having to pay taxes here in the U.S. And wow, and they got dinged. That's not very much money at all.
No, and no one's going to go to jail. Plus, they don't have to turn over the names of the cheats, the tax cheats, the people they helped.
You're probably pretty relieved with this news, yeah?
I know, yeah. Well, true
with
enough.
All that Mac money, you're like, right. Yeah, it's unfortunate because, you know, the people that obviously have enough money to move it overseas, they're wealthy, you know? You're not working at Walmart and sending your money to a Swiss bank account.
No.
Like, that's being...
No, I pay my taxes, and I think everyone else should.
Yeah, I do too. And it's not cool to cheat.
No.
So pay your taxes, people. Listen to me. Go to iOS.
I'm sure all of the listeners.
IRS.gov right now and pay your taxes. let's talk about... Oh, my gosh. We kind of made it through most of our stories. We got two quick stories to wrap up. Let's talk about iOS. Apparently, Apple is updating... I don't know if it's iOS 8. Feel free to hop in here, Leander or Buster, to correct me. They're going to be allowing promo codes for in-app purchases. So this isn't really going to be that helpful to our listeners because they're probably not going to be able to see these very often. But it's going to help you get, hopefully, more access to press coverage on different charge pieces for different apps. So in-app purchases rather. I don't know why I said charge pieces. That's not a real thing. I just made that up. So in-app purchases, because now they can give them to us for free. So especially for smaller publications, they can get promo codes and maybe start reviewing this stuff so that you guys can actually see what it is you're going to be spending your $3 for. Buster, is that, did I summarize that succinctly enough?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Totally. Hey,
thank you. You're like, I just don't want to say anything else about that. and let's wrap up with this story. Apparently, Google has purchased World Lens, which I think is a fave and rave pick of Leander. Or was it Alex?
I think it was Alex, isn't it? It's like when he went to Russia, he was using it to look at all the signs and Cyrillic.
All the different services offered at different establishments. Right. Eyebrow raise up and down. It's like, what does that sign say? How much? So this is really cool news. So this was a magical app. I've used it before as well. And it basically allows you to hold your iPhone with the camera active up to a sign that's not written in your native language. And it will instantaneously translate that sign into whatever language you speak. Well, whatever language it supports. And so really not a huge news item that Google bought it, but... And you need to act quick if you're listening to this. As the last I checked, they were offering all of the language packs for free.
Oh, really?
So the language packs were $3 each. And once this news went public, the developers just made all the language packs free. So hop in there as soon as you can and download the app. The app is free. And then language packs were how they were making their money. And now you could download those for free as well. Dang. So make sure you go get those. That when you're traveling to Russia, you too will know the prices at the local establishments. Eyebrow raise up and down. All right, guys, we should go ahead and wrap it up. But before we do that, I do want to say one last thing. I want to talk about our cult cast survey that we mentioned last week. A huge thank you to everyone who went and filled out the survey. We got an enormous response, and it's been enormously helpful seeing all the replies that you guys gave and all the answers that you provided us. It just helps us know who you are and what kinds of sponsors we should bring on the show, so we're not pitching you guys stuff that you don't want to hear about. Frankly, I think it's going to make the show better, and we really appreciate your support and taking the time to do that. If you haven't done it yet, the survey is still going. You can head on over to podsurvey.com/cult, podsurvey.com/cult, and take the survey. It takes about 5 minutes. Not only are you going to be helping out us and helping out the show, but you're going to be entered for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. And, you know, if you want to win that gift card and maybe you do win it and you want to send it our way, hey, that'd be pretty cool. There's lots of stuff that...
send it our way.
If you want to be helpful, fill out the survey. If you win the gift card and you really want to be helpful, send that my way as well. So that's podsurvey.com/cult. Okay, guys, I think that's it. I cannot believe it. I think we're at like 36 minutes. We are actually going to finish on time this week, but I better stop talking and wrap up the show. Otherwise, we might go over. That's all the cultcasts we have for you guys this week. We would be delighted if you'd come converse with us on Twitter. I'm at Airfon, Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. It means the world to us. Stay tuned for next week, and we'll see you guys. Let's do it together, guys.
Next
time. Ooh, Leander went low on that one.
That was difficult, wasn't it? It wasn't just like the rest of the podcast.
Exactly. Finely tuned machine. As usual. I wasn't expecting you to go baritone on that, Leander. You must have gone to baritone with my voice.
'Hello, governors. Welcome to the Cultcast, the most... That's the worst fucking Cockney accent ever. All right, let me try again. Hello, governors. Welcome to the Cultcast, the
Wait,
most...
Wait, sorry, Leander, I was coughing. Start it again. I was coughing. Sorry.
You were what? Okay. Oh, my God, I can't do it now. I've got total stage fright.
All right, round two.
Hello, governors. Welcome to the Cultcast, the most 30-minute... 30-minute conversation.
You should say something bad about the cult cast.
Okay, all right. So, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the cult cast, the most scurrilous and rapscallious. It's ridiculous.
These are all great.
We'll
you
work
know,
up
you
some,
think like you'd think that the British accents would be easy for you.
All right, here, how about this one? So, hello, governors. Welcome to the cult cast, the most. Sorry, it's the bollocks. Yeah, so hello, governors. Welcome to the cult cast. It's a right laugh. Hello, governors. Welcome to the cult cast. It's the best 30 minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. It's a right laugh. It's a bollocks.